And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Hey there, everybody out in Radio Land. This is Stan Weisleder at crntalk.com. I am in the studio right here in downtown glamorous Sunderland together with Malcolm Berman.
Well, beautiful downtown Sutherland. But, yeah. But one question before we start. Paul, weren't you supposed to change that music? Yeah, we have Eine Kleine Nacht music, but... We wanted to put something Rhapsody in Blue.
Yeah, Paul, you're fired. Pick up your check and go home.
No, you're rehired. You're rehired.
Okay.
We can't get anybody as competent for how much we pay him.
All right, let's get on to the news of the week.
Go for it.
First, with the missing airplane, let me just say this. With 239 people aboard a plane, I would imagine that at least half of them had cell phones in their pockets. Why didn't any of them call or try to call or send out some kind of a message before their batteries died? That's the only question I have.
Well, they could have been poison gas to knock them unconscious. And there was also something that I haven't heard, but that the plane went up to 45,000 feet, where possibly they needed the air masks to keep them alive for oxygen. Maybe they knocked them all out. Who knows?
Well, maybe one day we'll find out. Anyway, let's get back to some other news. You like pizza, Malcolm? With or without pepperoni?
Well, I like it with, but the question is, the big question is, how do you eat pizza?
With your fingers. Listen, East Coast Pizzeria, which is in, of all places, Barrow, Alaska. Okay, that's pretty far north. It's one of the three most northern pizza places in the United States, just above the Arctic Circle. Okay? But this one delivers. So try to imagine what they have to go through during their busy season. It's winter. It's pitch black outside, 24/7, day and night. And it's also 40 below zero. And if that isn't enough, Alexander Joksik, who is their delivery boy.
He's a jokester.
Yes. Sometimes he encounters polar bears in the middle of the street while making his deliveries.
Yeah, but polar bears do not like pizza. That's a fact.
Yeah, but they like people. Yeah, that's a hell of a way to make a living.
Now, what I had asked you before, don't you remember a few months ago where the mayor of New York sat down and had pizza, and he ate it with a knife and fork. And New Yorkers do not eat pizza with a knife and fork. The current mayor did that, and it became a national news topic.
Well, that's like having a corned beef sandwich with butter on it or mayonnaise. Well,
that was a scene from Annie Hall and Woody Allen. They go to a delicatessen, and Diane Keaton as Annie Hall orders salami on white bread with mayo. And they show you the picture of Woody Allen's face. Now, if you're not into the Jewish religion or kosher, ask a Jewish friend to explain to you the meaning of that.
I will. I'll get around to that.
Yeah, Paul, you ask someone. Well, we'll tell you after
Paul,
the show.
Paul, go back to your ham sandwich.
You're Jewish. Okay, so you know. Okay.
And we'll have to drop a couple of F-bombs to make sure Paul is awake in the control room. For those people who don't know, there's about an 8 to 10 second delay from when we speak to when it goes out on the air, and Paul's job is to catch anything that he's supposed to catch. So every once in a while, we'll throw one at him just to make sure he's awake.
Well, we look into the control room, and that's why you have the camera. And if he's not paying attention, well, I don't do it because Stan all of a sudden throws in a word, and all of a sudden you see Paul scramble. Because it's like about a second or two delay before you realize what he said.
Yeah, the kid's a little slow. Hey, I got one for you. Nancy Spielberg, who was the head of Playmount Productions, is in the midst of making a documentary called Above and Beyond. This is about the beginnings of the Israeli Air Force and the brave volunteer fighter pilots that came from all over America back in 1948 in order to make it happen. And I've seen clips of the film, and I have to tell you that even as a 23-year veteran reserve deputy with the L.A. Sheriff's Department, working as a detective with child abuse and all of the horrendous cases that we come up against, I got choked up seeing these film clips. That's how much it affected me.
Uh-huh. Well, wasn't there a movie with, I don't know if it was the Air Force, I think it might have been with Kirk Douglas, or I remember with General Marcus or something.
Yeah, that was about the beginnings of the Haganah. He was a West Point grad and a World War II vet.
Right.
And he went there to help start up the formation of the Army.
Wait, was that the Army or the Air Force? Or
The Army.
The Army.
Yeah. He had nothing to do with the Air Force. Yeah. Here's something that you may have read about. Anita Hill, remember her? Okay. And she's back now, and she is the subject of a documentary that is called Anita. I think the documentary should be called He Said, She Said.
Yes. Except he doesn't say much anymore.
No,
now that now they became
his best bet is to keep his mouth shut and stay ahead of the game.
When he opens his mouth to say anything, it becomes major news.
Yeah, and I wonder why. And we'll never know what really happened there. Hey, here's something that I really thought was cute. You know, I've heard that in the acting business, for every job available, there are maybe, I don't know if it's that many, but I've heard it said that there are maybe 5,000 or so applicants, all of them qualified. So what do you do if the role is for a baby? You know, like in Infant? A Doll's House, a classic play written by Henrik Ibsen, is now being performed at the Brooklyn Academy of Music.
As we call BAM.
Yes. And instead of using a doll, like in every other performance prior to this date, they have a kid by the name of Liam Leonard, who is 8 months old, and he is hamming it up for $125 per performance. Not bad. So my only question is, did the kid join the union?
If that's a union house, he would have to. If it's a union house.
Well, okay. Well, that's my only question. Hey, we have a very interesting and a very entertaining guest today. It's somebody who I've known for a number of years. His name is Sal Richards, and he is one hell of a funny guy. And his own organization is called Laughter is the Best Medicine. He's also been an actor. I've seen him on the move in the movies, and he's very good. One part in particular, he plays a mafia-type guy. And I wonder, well, anyway, we'll have him on, and he'll tell about it. He also has written a book about his life, and he's in the process now of having possibly a movie made about his life and all of his experiences. So, Paul, do we have him on? Sal, are you with us?
I am here waiting to eat my pizza.
Okay. With or without pepperoni?
And I never would eat a piece of pizza with a knife and a fork. Ever. I don't care how hot it is. I don't care if I burn my palate. Never.
Well, where are you from, Sal? This is Malcolm. Where are you from?
Oh, hi, Malcolm. Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
What part?
Ridgewood, which is now called Queens.
Oh, I'm Coney Island, I think. Where are you from, Stan?
Brownsville.
My wife was from Sheepshead Bay, but I know Ridgewood, Brooklyn. And when I moved out of Ridgewood, a few years later, people would ask me, where are you from? When I moved to Long Island originally, I said, I'm from Ridgewood, Brooklyn. They said, you mean Ridgewood, Queens? I said, no, I was Ridgewood, Brooklyn. My address was Ridgewood 27, Brooklyn, New York. And then I found out that they changed it to Queens for some reason, something to do with the border when they made the first map or whatever, and it is now called Ridgewood, Queens.
I think it probably had more to do with real estate value, because Ridgewood, Queens probably upgraded the neighborhood from Ridgewood, Brooklyn.
Yeah, and even some friends of mine, like Julius LaRose is from Ridgewood, Brooklyn, and Eddie Murphy was from Ridgewood, Brooklyn, and Rosie Perez was from Ridgewood, Brooklyn. So, all of a sudden it became Queens, so I will never say I'm from Ridgewood, Queens, ever.
Now, you mentioned eating pizza with a knife and fork. I remember being in a restaurant. I've seen people eat spare ribs with a knife and fork.
No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. You can't enjoy it because the whole thing is the art of eating a spare rib is getting it in your fingers and getting the grease on your fingers,
getting
on your
it
hands,
in your face,
the barbecue sauce on your lips, on the side. And then it's so sticky, and you can't wait to wash it off.
See, that's a problem. I've always had a beard most of my life. To get it on my mustache and my chin, that was a hell of a job getting it off.
Oh, yeah. But you look forward to that. That's why it's enjoyable.
I look forward to washing it off. No, I enjoy the meal 2 days later.
Hey, Sal, you got to tell us about what you're doing, where you're going, where you're appearing, what's happening with your career and your life.
Nothing at all. Right now,
there goes our show. Thanks very much, Sal, for being on our show.
It's been great. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure. Right now, I'm sitting at my pool here in Florida, enjoying the sun and nice warm breeze that's coming by, and just waiting for this call.
You're waiting for the phone to ring.
Waiting for the phone to ring. Well, it rang twice already, but I didn't pick it up.
You're living an exciting life.
Well, down here in Florida, it's great. I mean, you live in Florida, it's the most exciting place in the world to live. I mean, here you get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and that's it. You're up for the day. You know. And you say, honey, what do you want to do today, sweetheart? Well, let's sit over here. And you move to another place by the pool. You sit somewhere else.
It sounds like a fantastic life.
Oh, man, it's exciting. It's exciting. And the time it takes to go from one area to the next area, it's really enjoyable because you feel like you're on a trip.
It reminds me of an all-time actor, and he always hated Los Angeles. And he was from New York, and I'm forgetting his name, the piano player with Gershwin. But anyway, they asked him, they said, then he moved to do movies. He moved to L.A., and he said, well, how's living in Los Angeles? He says, fine. I wake up in the morning, go to the pool, go to sleep, and I wake up, I'm 80 years old. It sounds like your life.
Right. Well, no, not exactly. There's a lot of things to do down here. We do a lot of stuff. You know, we go out a lot and we see a lot of people. We go out to dinners. And, of course, I do my shows down here during the season. I just finished a full run down here. And, unfortunately, the other night I had to fill in for the late David Brenner, who passed away just Saturday.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of difficult because when they asked me to go fill in for him at this one particular place, he was still alive, as far as we all knew.
Ooh.
And we got to the venue, and before I went on stage, the MC says, as you know, David Brenner was taken ill, and he's in the hospital, so we're very fortunate enough we're able to get Sal Richards to come in and fill in. So there was some slight applause there, but then one person yelled out, he died an hour ago in the audience. And I heard that backstage, and I just cringed. I felt myself, man, I got to go make these people laugh now. They just paid to see David Brenner. Somebody yelled out that he died, and now I got to go be funny.
That's what I do.
And there's your act.
I went out and did it, Stan. You know me. I just went out and did what I had to do. They came to laugh, and they certainly did. And it sort of took away the strain of hearing that he died. You know, I was sorry to hear that he died, but this is what I do for a living. You know,
well, look, the name of your organization is Laughter is the Best Medicine.
Well, it's not my organization. It's just a phrase that I think that laughter is the best medicine. I've always thought that all my life. And that comes from a book that was written by Norman Cousins many years ago.
Right, yeah, I've read that book.
Yeah, and, you know, and I've used it everywhere I go. Laughter is the best medicine because, you know, sometimes you go on stage and there are people out there, you don't know that they're suffering, if they're going through things. And I meet them after the show and they said, we're so glad we came tonight. For the hour that you were on, you took away my pain. I was suffering from this.
Anyway, Sal, I hate to cut you off, but we're coming up to a break. And hang on, we'll be right back. You're listening to The View from over here. Heard on CRN Digital Talk Radio and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And you can hear us at www.viewfromoverhere.com. We'll be back in a few minutes. Go, Stan.
go? Where do you want me to go, Malcolm? Hey there, everybody. This is Stan Weisleder at CRNTalk.com with Malcolm Berman. Malcolm, you woke me up from that snooze.
Well, that's it.
And we have our special guest today, Sal Richards.
You're staring at Paul.
Paul? Listen, can you give me that number for that credit repair that was just on?
Hey, listen, Sal, I know you know a lot of people in your business. You get around a lot. There's somebody who we may have come on in maybe next month, Barbara Brighton.
Oh, yeah, I know Barbara Brighton. She lives down here in Florida. She's Joan Rivers impersonator.
Yeah, she used to be my neighbor here in Los Angeles, and when she's on my Facebook. So when she found out that you're going to be on the show, she said, Sal's an old friend of mine. I said, not that old, but...
Yeah, I know. As a matter of fact, I saw her on Facebook, and she said to say hi to you, by the way. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, my God. I think the world is connected by Facebook.
Well, you got Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and so forth.
It's so much out there. It gets annoying after a while, though.
So how come they can't find the plane?
I know where the plane is. I do. It's where Jimmy Hoffa was buried.
Right, I think so. Well, they say who we need now is Hervé Villechaize. The plane.
Just tell you the truth, I think that plane landed somewhere. That's the way I feel. I feel it's in a remote area. It landed somewhere, and for whatever reason, I don't know if it actually crashed, because it's just a mystery. To turn off all the transponders and everything, this guy had a plan to begin with. We know that. Now, anyway.
Well, do you think it was abducted by one of these large alien spacecrafts?
Listen, anything is possible nowadays. I mean, look at the Bermuda Triangle years ago when planes disappeared and boats disappeared. It's a phenomenon that still can't be answered.
Yeah, what about these ships where the whole crew would vanish and the ship is sailing on like nothing happened?
Exactly. I love that movie. That was a great movie. The Haunted Ship.
Yeah. Sal, have you been doing any touring around the country?
I've been touring. I was in Michigan for a while. I did a couple of dates in Michigan. I went to Chicago. I went back to New York.
I hope it wasn't recently.
No, it wasn't recently. With all that snow and everything.
I mean.
I spoke to my friend Joe from Andiamo Italia in Warren, Michigan. And he said they were really suffering up there with the weather, and the cold was like 15 below zero.
Well, that's global warming that's doing it.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I only know about comedy. I don't know about global warming. I don't know anything.
Well, comedy is really, as far as I know, is based on tragedy or somebody's hard luck removed a few steps.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Stan, comedy is a very serious business. You know, a lot of your comics out there, there are some comics that are out there right now that, they're always on. They're always doing shtick. They're always on. If they're with a crowd of people, they got to be funny. They got to make themselves known. They got to make it known that they're in the area or they're in the crowd. And then there are a lot of people that just sit back and relax and take it easy and save everything for the stage. I'm one of those guys.
Yeah, I've seen you. You're like that.
You know, I'm very reserved. I'm quiet. I don't have to... prove to anybody how funny I am.
And you know who was like that? Sid Caesar was like that.
Yeah, exactly. And Sid was the best. He was the greatest.
He would just listen and learn and suck it all in.
And I learned from him. When we used to do the shows at the Beverly Hills High School, for the reunion show.
Yeah.
I'll never forget one night. I got friendly with Sid many years ago. I did a movie called Over the Brooklyn Bridge with Elliot Gould and Marlon Hemingway and Sid Caesar.
Nice cast.
And we got very, very friendly, Sid and I, and I've been to his house on many occasions and had dinner and everything like that. So one night at the Beverly Hills High School, he was in the audience, and I said, Sid, let me tell you something. You don't know what an honor it is to be performing. I said, there's a lot of people here, but it's an honor to be performing for you right now, because growing up, everything that I have now in my act and my style, I got from you. Sid stood up and said, Sal, can I have it back? And, it was a thrill for me to know that these are guys that when I was younger, I used to send away for their autograph pictures. I used to stand online in New York at the Red Button Show to get into the theater to see him. and all these Milton Berle and all these people, and then after so many years becoming friendly with them, having their phone numbers in my phone, and being able to call them and converse with them, just as I'm talking with you.
Okay, Sal,
it's really a thrill.
Sal, did you read the write-up that I did about Sid Caesar's funeral?
Stan, hold on to that. We're coming up to a break.
Oh, a break?
Yeah.
Another break. Well,
yeah,
I'm glad you have sponsors.
We got to pay the bills. You're listening to The View from over here, heard on CRN Digital Talk Radio and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And you can hear it back shows, View from over here, know the. Be back in a few minutes.
Hey there, Stan Weisleiter here at crntalk.com together with Malcolm Berman and our special guest today, Sal Richards. Sal, before the break, I started to ask you a question. Did you get the opportunity to read the summary that I did about Sid Caesar's funeral?
I can't say that I did. I might have. I don't remember.
I'll send it to you anyway. But more importantly than that, have to ask you, in all of your shticks and all of your gigs, and I've seen you, I forget how many times, and even when you do the same routines, I find it just as funny as I did the very, very first time. Now, to me, that is the hallmark of an excellent perfecto comic.
No, so, thank you very much. You know what I try to do, Stan, to be honest with you, I try to make it different for myself every time. Even if I'm doing the same material, I'm always trying to add some different stuff. I always try to put 5 or 6 or 7 minutes different into my act than I've been doing.
Do you still do the routine about the president calling the guy for a...
Oh, yeah. As long as Obama's president, I'll still do that routine.
Hey, for people that haven't heard it, you want to do it for our audience?
Well, it's sort of out of context. I was just thinking that it would be a lot better world today if we had an Italian in the White House. Now, when I talk about Italian, I do not mean an Italian from Italy. I'm talking about an Italian from the old neighborhood, any old neighborhood. And imagine he's sitting in the White House and he gets that first call that there's a problem. Hello, it's the President of the United States of America. What can I do for you? We got a problem? Oh, yeah, where? Bosnia. Oh, okay. Oh, Bosnia. Yeah, I got it. All right. Stay where you are. I'll call you back in 5 minutes. Picks up the phone. Hello. Let me speak to the Secretary of Defense. It's urgent. Hello, Carmine. Listen, we got a problem at a place called Bazania, but wherever the hell it is. I want you to do me a favor. Why don't you go to Chicago? No. 2 guys. That's all we need. Just get 2 guys. And it goes on and on like that. You know, it's very difficult to do without an audience. That's a tough thing to do.
I don't care. It's still funny to me.
And the concept is funny, and I haven't heard it before.
Yeah, well.
Sal, have you thought about expanding it to if we had other kinds of presidents, like a Hispanic, Jewish president, and so forth?
Well, I've done that. I used to do it that way. I used to do it about an Italian president. Then I'd say, what if we had a Jewish president? Hello? What's the matter? There's a problem? I'm eating right now. Call me later.
I think Sid Caesar had a routine where he would talk about how the PA system of different airlines was different depending on what nationality it was. It was like, and he would do the dialect, and he said, Germany.
Well, he was great at that. He was great
in Germany. You will enjoy this flight.
And for those people sitting on the right side, you will see the ocean. For those people sitting on the left, the plane is going down, and we want to thank you for flying Lufthansa Airlines.
Right. He did that with France, Italian, all the dialect. It's hilarious.
He did all the languages. And as a matter of fact, one day we went out for dinner. This was a long time ago. We went to an Italian restaurant, and we went with Larry Spellman, who was managing him at the time. So we sit in the restaurant, the girl comes over, and Sid and I start going back and forth. I go, Istana, quello vuol dire voglio? Ti voglio da mangiare stasera? Pulizzini, o l'anguore, che porto che ten? And then he started rattling off, hey, porto cogin, ti voglio da mangiare stasera? And the girl is looking at us like, I said, what's the matter? Non capisci? She said, sorry, sir. Non capisci what you say. I don't understand what you're saying. And Sid's going, my God, they give me the color of the paradise, 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 they give me the color of the paradise. And we said nothing. And people are looking at us like we're talking Italian.
Hey, Sal, I understood every word you said.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm from Brooklyn, I know it.
I went to a Chinese restaurant one day. Because I do that, too. I do it just every once in a while. I come up with shit, with stuff like that.
Right. Beep. Go, so, Paul.
Did he catch it? Yeah. He's nodding. Maybe he caught it.
You were beeped.
I didn't say anything.
You woke him up. He was reading a magazine.
And the waitress came over and I said, Xin tao chang mao tam yi ming chong to wai. Xin ye ye tomo tong chi wa to wai an yin. She looked at me and as my oath to God, she says, I'm so sorry, sir. I don't speak Cantonese. She actually thought I was speaking Cantonese, Chinese. I said, no, neither do I. Give me the menu.
Well, that reminds me of a routine that Buddy Hackett had. You know, one from column A and two from column B.
Oh, yeah, one from column A, one from column B. Yep.
And no substitute, can't have wonton soup, only egg drop, chicken
right.
Egg drop. Yeah.
Hey, that reminds me of a story. Many, many years ago when I lived in Brooklyn, we had a phone number that was one digit off the local Chinese restaurant, okay? And
really?
Every Sunday at about 4 o'clock, this guy would call to place an order. And it was getting annoying. So I said to my wife, I'm going to fix this guy's ass or butt or pulse. That's okay.
That's okay.
All right. I go down to the Chinese restaurant and I get a copy of their takeout order form, and I'm waiting for this guy to call. Sure enough, the next Sunday he calls at about 5 to 4. I have my list ready, and I put on a Chinese accent as best I could, asking him for his order, and we go down, we take down, check off everything, and I tell him what his total is, and I give him his number, and I say he'll be ready in 20 minutes. He never, ever called back again after that.
He's still waiting.
He's still outside waiting for the order.
Yeah, guys in Brooklyn never give up.
Hey, Sal, are you making any new movies? Because I got to tell you, those that I've seen you in, you were great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I did a couple of movies. I did a movie with Vincent D'Onofrio and Brenda Vaccaro.
Hey, those are also Italian people.
And Dan Hedaya. I did a movie called Crackers, and it was quite different than what I'm used to doing. You know, usually I get cast as a mob guy, as a wise guy, and stuff like that. I guess because of the way I look or whatever. I don't know.
And you do that very well.
Sal, hold on to that. But this one question, did you know Henry Hill? He was married to my cousin. Speaking about
I met Henry Hill about a year and a half ago in Las Vegas. They had a convention in Las Vegas. And he was there with all his paraphernalia and his pictures and all kinds of
stuff.
Hey,
we got 30 seconds. Let's hold this. We want to hear this whole story, okay?
You're listening to The View from Over Here, heard on CRN Digital Talk Radio and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And you can hear back shows at www.viewfromoverhere.com. And we're off.
Stan Weisleder here with Malcolm Berman on CRNTalk.com and our special guest today, Sal Richards. Sal, I apologize for the commercial break, but how about telling that story that we interrupted you
with? I was out there with a convention. I went with Howie Rapp and Allison Chaplin. They had a big convention out there. It was sort of like a entertainment expo, show business exhibition, and people would set up. They had all their booths. The vendor booths were all set up with pictures of their acts and things that they book and shows that they book and things of that nature. So I was just walking around, and I walked around the turn from where our booth was, and I went to the other side, and sure enough, I see Henry Hill. And I walked right over, and I says, Henry. And I Well, let's put it this way. I know him, you know.
What was he selling if he had a booth?
He was selling paraphernalia from the movie.
Like dead bodies and stuff?
or a little white stuff, paraphernalia?
Well, no, he was selling photos.
Ah, okay.
Memorabilia from the movie Goodfellas.
I saw him on I think it was the Carson show. It was later than that. One of the Jay Leno or something. And they asked him. They said, "Henry, hey, you know, you had a hit after you know that they were going to hit you. Aren't you afraid to be so public?" And he said, "What, are you crazy?" He said, "A wise guy calls me up. They take me out to lunch and they give me a script and they say, 'Henry, how can I get this produced?'"
Yeah,
it's right. A different world now.
Oh yeah, it was quite different, but it was very interesting. It was very interesting, and his wife was with him. So, is that your cousin?
No, my cousin was the original Karen.
Oh.
She was the original wife that you see, in the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And she got a little messed up with him, but now thank God she's back on her feet and doing well.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, getting back to what I was telling you before, I did a movie called Crackers with Vincent D'Onofrio and. I played a blind bookie. It was very funny.
How the hell does that work, a blind bookie?
Very easy. I just take the money, and they cheat me like crazy. So, but it didn't make any difference. It was the character. He's a real goofball of a character, and he tries to move in with Vincent D'Onofrio in his house because his mother-in-law is living with him, Vincent D'Onofrio, and they're trying to figure a way how to kill her, how to get her out of the house.
Sounds like a good comedy.
No, it was very funny. It was very funny. And then I did a movie called Gus, where I played the title role. I played a grandfather who bonds with his grandson through art, through painting. It's based on a true story. The director of the film, it's about his life, how he grew up with his grandfather because his parents were divorced. And this was really far removed from what I've ever done. And I really enjoyed doing it because I got my acting chops out in this. It was a very serious role, and I really loved doing it. But, you know, my first love is comedy, and what I'm doing now is we're working on a script based on my book, Behind the Laughter, Hidden Tears, and it takes you through. It's. I think we're going to call it like Father, Like Son, because it's about my family, my son Guy Richards, who is also a comic, and we're basing it on that. I don't want to really divulge too much about it, but there's a lot that's involved in it.
All right, we'll have to go see the movie.
Yeah, well, we're waiting for the script. The script is almost finished, and it's going to be very interesting story. Very interesting.
Now,
going to be in Vegas in April.
I've always felt and I've always said that a good comic like yourself will always make for an excellent actor. And if
that's funny you should say that. That's a great observation, Stan, because if you look at a lot of the actors, Milton Berle was a wonderful actor.
Oh, he was incredible.
He was incredible.
Mickey Rooney. All of the good comics make
Robin
excellent
Williams.
Actors.
And Robin Williams is big.
Robin Williams is an excellent actor.
And I know why. You know why, Sal? Comic, okay, comedian, that type of work is acting, and it's the hardest. It's the hardest kind of acting. If you could be a comic,
exactly right.
You could do any kind of acting.
We go on stage and we do our act, and when we're doing a routine or telling a story, we become that character. For it to be convincing, if you want to make it funny, you've got to become the person you're talking about.
Exactly.
And that's acting.
But how does it feel? I don't know. I can imagine going on stage and doing your routine, and for whatever reason, there's no laughter. People are just stone-faced. Has that ever happened to you?
I don't know how that feels.
So you've never experienced that. Hey, I got to tell you, many, many years ago, we were in Las Vegas, and we were there on the Jewish holidays, okay? And we went to see Jack Carter, okay? Mm-hmm. And all of his comicry, all of his shticks, his whole routine is kind of oriented towards Jewish humor or people who came from New York. And you know what? Out of everybody in the audience, and they must have all been Mormons, because the only ones who were laughing were me and my wife.
Yeah, well, you see, that's the problem with certain people. I mean, Jack is a very funny guy. He was a very funny man. you know, Guy Marks. You remember the name Guy Marks?
No, I don't.
Oh. Guy Marks was a great comic. He was wonderful. He was fantastic. And I was appearing at the Dunes Hotel at the top of the Dunes in Las Vegas, and he was downstairs opening for Robert Goulet. And we went downstairs to see his show, my conductor and I. And we loved his shtick. He was way out. He was way before his time. We were laughing our butts off. I mean, he was hysterical. And the people around us were looking at us like we were fools. He was just so funny. They just didn't get it.
They didn't get
it. And I've had that happen to me. I was working at the Rainbow Grill in New York City.
That's top of the RCA building?
At Rockefeller's. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. And I'm doing my act, and I am sweating, man. I'm sweating. I'm not getting laugh one. I mean, it's not happening. So I go into the singing and the characterizations and the impressions. And finally, they start moving a little because music is an international thing, you know. Everybody understands music. And I'm busting my chops, and I said, what is wrong with you people? Don't you understand English? And a guy stands up in the front. He says, "We're very sorry, but we are an organization from Germany. We're here on a convention."
Hold on to that.
We came for dinner.
Hold on to that, Sal.
Don't go away,
we're
Sal.
We're taking a break. You'll be right back from The View from over here on CRN Digital Talk Radio. See you in a few minutes.
Hi there, Stan Weisleder here at CRNTalk.com with Malcolm Berman and our special guest today, Sal Richards. Sal, so what have you got to say after that little episode where they didn't laugh?
Well, I went over to the maitre d', and I said, "What the heck is going on?" And the maitre d' spoke with broken English. He says, "Sal, we told all of the guys here tonight, we want to see what Sal is going to do when he finds out that these people don't speak English." And every waiter, everybody in the place knew about it. They knew what was going to happen. I says, "Why didn't you tell me? Why did you set me up like this?" He says, we left our ass off here. I says, "I got all to do to understand you, and you put a whole bunch of Germans in the audience that didn't understand a word of English? How could you do that to me?"
Sal, is that when you went into your striptease act?
No.
I think you could have used Sid Malcolm. Caesar then and let him do his German dialect.
Yeah, right. Right. That would have been great.
Anyway, so we're reaching the end of the show. Do you have any final things to say? Anything you want
to
promote?
I'd like to say that it was a pleasure being on your show, and wish you guys lots of luck with it. And if anybody wants to know anything more about me, just go to my website, www.salrichards.com. You can see my book there. You can buy it there. You can see my documentary, and you can buy it there. You can see trailers for both. And see, the book is very interesting. Stan, you read the book. And,
absolutely.
You know, my son has bipolar disorder. So that is in play in the movie, how we deal with that, being in show business and on the road, and the obstacle we face with him having that disorder. So,
hey, I forgot to ask you at the very, very beginning, so you'll have to excuse. How's Ro doing?
She's doing fine. And your wife is doing well?
Compared to what?
See, Stan always wanted to be a stand-up comic.
She's doing fine.
Compared to Fran?
I don't know. I don't want to go there now. No. If this were not on the air, I'd give you some funny answers.
Yeah, okay.
Why
understand.
Would you say that, Paul? Be ready. Why would you say?
No, I'm not going there.
Well, you opened up the door. You said compared to what?
Yeah, well, I just shut the door.
Shut the door. Anyway, thanks very much, Sal. When the movie comes closer to fruition, we'll have you back on the show to talk about it.
Yeah, I would love to. That'd be great. That'd be terrific. Thank you very much for the time and for all the accolades and everything else that you had to say. Okay. I really appreciate it. Very interesting.
Okay,
I hope you have continued success. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, and go back to the pool and get a good tan.
Yeah, I'll see you down in Florida.
All right, buddy.
Okay. Bye.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Anyway, Stan, that was a good interview. Seems like a great guy.
Sal is funny as hell, I got to tell you. And when you go out with him, let's say for dinner, he's a nice guy. He's not obnoxious. He's a regular guy. You know, he doesn't come on like, hey, I'm Mr. Comedy. You have to bow down before me. He's a real regular nice guy from the old neighborhood.
But I understand now that you are a radio show host that you have a certain airs about you when you go out to dinner.
Who, me? No. I'm still a plain, ordinary guy from Brooklyn.
That you get insulted when people don't recognize you from your picture.
I don't want them to recognize me. You know, better they don't, because this way they don't know. They never see you coming.
Anyway, Stan, it's the end of the show. Say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye. Paul. Oh, Paul has 30 seconds for us left. We have 30 seconds to kill, Malcolm.
Not kill. You're listening to The View from Over Here, heard on CRN Digital Talk Radio and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And you can hear our back shows. You know where? www.viewfromoverhere.com. Know the.
And we're all over the planet.
We're interplanetary.
Interplanetary.
And we will see.
Far reaches of the galaxy.
Of the universe. And we'll see you guys next week. Ta-ta.
The View from Over Here is a co-production of Infinity X and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.